When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Power. Our. LSU. Boom!
All night long. Yes.
Let's freaking go, PHL Nation. We have still got women's basketball to discuss. We've got the national anthem controversy to discuss. We have got Joe Sloan to discuss. He hit the podium earlier today, the LSU offensive coordinator. Really appreciate each and every one of you. I do want to start this live stream saying that last night's post-game show was the highest viewership we have ever had on any single show that we've done. That shows you the power of women's basketball. I've been doing this a long time. I say a long time, a few years now for this channel. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. And it makes sense because 12 million people watched the national championship game, more than most NBA games, more than most college basketball men's games, more than quite a few college football games outside of Ohio State, Michigan, and the SEC championship game and the national championship game. It is in freaking sync. Now, there are so many different layers that we have got to discuss from last night, and I want to start with the future instead of the past. We discussed so much about the past. Let's talk about Angel Reese's future. She should come back. She should undoubtedly come back. And there are a lot of reasons as to why. I am a big believer in something called efficiency, right? Efficiency is something that is very common, right? How quickly and how efficient are you at what you do? And in this postseason run, Angel Reese struggled with field goal percentage. In her first game, she was 1-for-7 from the field. In her last game, even though she did roll her ankle after starting pretty hot, she was 7-of-21 from the field. Now, inefficiency happens when volume increases, right? Because we're asking you to do more. And last night, she had to do more in a pretty marquee game. But she is on a team with quite a few talented players. So your efficiency should be pretty good. And for me, Angel Reese's postseason run showed that there is still room for her game to grow. And I think another year with Kim Mulkey, Bob Starkey, Gregory Redis, and that whole staff, it would do her a lot of good to come back. And she'll have the LSU fan base, she'll have the NIL, and she's still going to have NIL wherever she goes in the WNBA. But I truly do believe she should come back, even though she's going to be a WNBA lottery pick and sell a lot of tickets for whatever WNBA franchise she goes to. So it's not quite an easy decision for Angel Reese. I understand her wanting to jump to the next level and starting that next part of her career, but I truly do believe that she should come back. And I believe Haley Van Lith should come back. There was the end of the press conference yesterday with Kim Mulkey, who said she wants Haley Van Lith back. She still has one more year left. And even though I felt like they misused Haley Van Lith at times last year, and she herself didn't play well this year for LSU overall, outside of one spectacular game on the road versus Tennessee, whose coach is now fired, I would like Haley Van Lith back. I think there is a piece of her that wants to prove everyone wrong that she's not the player that she was. And there are a lot of different theories as to why it didn't work out for Haley Van Lith. You know, she's not a true point guard. She's more of a two. Who is a ball distributor, Alexis Morris type of player is not really her game. You know, we talked ad nauseum that we felt she shouldn't have guarded Caitlin Clark for the entirety of the game. And it wasn't for the entirety of the game, but what I could tell you is when Flage took over the Caitlin Clark assignment in the fourth quarter, we started to stop Caitlin Clark some. I would not have kept HVL on her. I would have put Flage on her for a good bit of the game. I understand saving Flage for the last portion, and you knew she was going to probably play 40 minutes, so you don't want her exhaust her on the defensive end. I would argue to the contrary. I would say the most important goal in the game versus Iowa is to stop them on offense, because defensively they're not that great, and other players can step up offensively for us on that side of the floor. So I would have done a lot more mixing and matching as far as giving different looks to Caitlin Clark. And I felt like we could have done more, but it wouldn't have done anything maybe in the grand scheme of things, because Caitlin Clark is really that girl. But I would love HVL to come back and Angel Reese to come back. Now, I do want to discuss this anthem controversy, all right? This is something that I've been asked quite a bit today. I've been DM'd quite a bit today from not only our patrons, but my Instagram and so on. And I said, everyone come to the live stream and I'll discuss this. And obviously Semper says, I don't follow women's basketball, but is our team really not on the court for the national anthem? And to that, I say, yes, they are not on the court for the national anthem. And I would say that it is more complex than just saying they're not in the court for the national anthem. Hardly any team is on the court for the national anthem. In fact, Iowa being on the court for the national anthem is actually more contrarian than what most teams do. Football teams aren't on the field for the national anthem. Now, you can definitely have the opinion that they should be out there, but this idea that an already attacked team, the LSU Tigers, already a team that in the minds of many is very controversial, the idea that we needed LSU women's basketball on the biggest stage that we have ever seen in this sport's history, one of the biggest stages we've ever seen in women's sports history, one of the biggest stages we've ever seen in any sport, 12.3 million viewers, especially if you take out the NFL, which is a completely different thing, and you take out world soccer, which is a completely different thing, that is one of the most viewed games in the modern era ever. And the fact that there are plenty of people that used LSU as a political talking point without including the context that they are never out there for the national anthem is appalling to me. Okay? It is appalling. Now, if you want to have the opinion that they should be out there for the anthem, go right on ahead. But the fact that everyone decided to pile up on Kim Mulkey and these girls after having their hearts ripped out on national TV is crazy to me, when there's no outrage over this when almost every football team is not out there for the national anthem. Why don't the football players get called out for this? Why don't football programs get called out for this? I felt like this was coordinated for a reason. And the second thing I would say about this is, why did this actually become a story? Why? All right. Why did this happen? No one has discussed this. I was just on Blake's show. I normally go on Monday nights. I saved this for this show because this is a little bit of a deeper, thorough talking point. So if you heard me on Blake's show, this is going to be a little bit different. All right. Why did this happen? Does anyone know why this happened? It was one person. One person started this. That is an undeniable fact. One person. His name is Dan. He works for a website named OutKick. All right. One person tweeted out this clip. One person. And he said the following. Iowa is out here for the national anthem. LSU left the court for the national anthem. Which is true. They did leave the court for the national anthem, but they didn't leave the court because of the national anthem. two completely different things. Because they warm up, and then they're discussing strategy. Guess what? My buddy Sean Fox, who does radio in Monroe, he's been a guest on the show plenty of times, confirmed today that Pat Summitt's teams weren't on the court for national anthems. Pat Summitt's. Plenty of teams. My colleague Preston Guy at Tiger Bait showed a gazillion examples today on Twitter of so many different teams not being out there for the national anthem. Not only present, but older teams before the Kaepernick thing even became a thing. Okay? This isn't anything new. And the fact that one person tweeted this out, only one person. So what does that mean exactly? What does that mean? That means for years, no one made this a point. Nobody. This had been going on for years. There was, in fact, someone on Twitter who was outraged that LSU was not out there for the anthem, who admitted to going to LSU women's basketball games this season. So if it takes one national writer to point this out and you didn't realize this for however long, what is the point of being outraged over this? This is something that has been happening for a while. The only reason why this story became a thing is one writer. That's it. We would not be discussing this at all. This wasn't some Nobel Peace Prize worthy piece of journalism. In fact, it was lacking context that really matters. And he knew what he was doing. It furthered his narrative of how he wanted to paint the game. Without confirming if the team actually does this. And here's the thing with a political talking point. Whatever furthers your narrative, you're just going to fully agree with without providing further context. And that drives me insane. It drives me insane. Okay? Drives me in freaking sane. So if you want to have the opinion that all teams should be out there for the national anthem, you can have your opinion. But the fact that everyone piled up on the LSU Lady Tigers and Kim Mulkey of all people, when Kim has had to deal with what she's had to deal with over the last couple of weeks, however justified you feel about that, is appalling. Now, here's what's even more appalling. I have no idea why Jeff Landry decided to wake up and tweet what he tweeted today. That also blew my mind. The governor, okay, was very shocked that he did that. Very shocked. And I feel really bad for Kim Mulkey. I feel really bad for Kim Mulkey. And it's hard for me when Kim Mulkey, who's lived an amazing life, she will be a legend. She already has a statue. She had Michael Jordan introduce her at the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. She is one of the legends that we have in the game of basketball. I feel really bad for her today. I know she's fine. She's one of the strongest-willed people. Everyone will say that about her, whether you like her or you hate her. Feel really bad about it today. I really, really feel bad for her. Because I know she's patriotic, and she didn't want people to feel that way about her team or her players, especially all the stuff that they have had to deal with on and off the court. I feel really bad for Kim today. And I would have handled that a lot better. I would have handled that a lot better if I was a governor. But I am not. And I was really shocked. And I want to like every politician that represents Louisiana. I want to like every politician, period, because I'm not smart enough to work in politics. That hurt me. That hurt me because I know it hurt the Lady Tigers that you're the person who runs your state said that. I feel really bad for Kim. I really, really, really do. And I wish I was friends with her to tell her that. Even though I criticized her coaching, even though I've criticized a few of the things she did on the court this offseason or this season. I've disagreed with stuff in the past. If she is for some reason watching this or someone closer is watching this, I feel for you. I really, really, really do. Because I know that upset her. And you know, life moves on. And I know she's more excited because she got the point guard out of New Mexico to commit. I've not watched any of her games, so I'm not going to give you an opinion on her. But I'm really excited that they got someone that they really wanted to go get, a top 50 player who is a guard, which we desperately need going into next year. But if someone close to Jeff Landry's watching this, there's still ways you can remedy this. You know, one way you could have done this is just call Kim. I know he's got Kim's number or someone close there and say, hey, can we work together? We know this has been the protocol for so long. Can we work together and have the girls out there for the anthem next year? And that would have shown him standing up for our Tigers while also standing up for the anthem. And I know people in political communications. I don't know anyone in his camp. I would have told him to do that, and that way you would have made everybody happy. But that's not here nor there. Okay? It's tough. It's really, really, really tough. So, Semper, to answer your question, it's been that way for years. Okay? It's been that way. Okay? Yeah, PG does deserve it, man. He is by far my favorite LSU Twitter account. And I'm not just saying that because he's a friend of mine and a former PHL guest. And I've been on his show plenty of times. He's the best at Twitter. I suck at Twitter. I will never be as good as Preston Guy on Twitter. And you could tell he's worked in sports communications before. And here's the thing. If Jeff Landry attended games this year, he would have known that. He would have known that. But my another side point is we there's 5x the amount of people that go to football games and have never pointed out that LSU is not out there for the national anthem, or whoever, Florida or whoever, is not out there for the national anthem. Okay? So it sucks. It really, really, really sucks. And yesterday overall sucked for the Louisiana sports with the Pelicans and, of course, the LSU baseball team. All right. So it sucks. But that's the thing, Marvin. The damage was done. If you ask in the post game, the damage has already been done. Because one narrative is it was already viewed millions of times. Millions of times. Damage was done. And that's a sad state of affairs. It's not really that big of a deal, if you ask me. Because we're watching one of the biggest games in LSU women in sports history. And you know, that became the thing. Jared. So Jared was our winner yesterday of our Slam magazine cover of Flage and Angel. I've actually not on camera, of course, but I've actually had that photo. And it's not the actual Slam magazine. It's just a print of the cover, which makes it a lot more portable. And it's in like a nice little one-touch top loader. And Jared, it got shipped out today with a few extra goodies. I really appreciate you. Now, I will discuss this, obviously, you know, topics in our free-flowing live streams. Always come in and out. But guess what, PHL? This is a community. We might disagree about whatever. But that's the thing. That's the thing about community. We agree, we disagree. I'm not going to hate you, but if you troll and get crazy with your comments, guess what? You're going to get blocked. And we had a ton of trolls yesterday. 1,500 live viewers yesterday for the postgame show. Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. And shows you the power of women's basketball. And I'll tell you this. I want to share the story again. I was with my nieces this weekend. And they play sports, but they're not, you know, into sports. And, you know, when I'm around them, I normally just want to talk to them about life or whatever. They brought up Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese this Easter Sunday. Excites me. Representation matters. And yesterday was a great representation of really well-played women's college basketball. So shout out to those two. And I have not been able to watch the UConn and USC game. Juju Watkins versus Paige Becker. So shout out to women's sports, and hopefully it continues to grow. And I'll tell you this. I will tell you this, all right? It's crazy that all of that happened yesterday, and we have not discussed probably why the wildest thing that happened over the weekend in women's college basketball, when they could not paint the court the same on both ends. I don't know if you saw this. 3-point line, not the same on both ends. Not the same. 1 3-point line longer than the other. Let's see. Isn't it crazy? That's the crazy. That's why I feel bad for Kim. That's why I feel bad for Kim. Okay? Of all people. I know she, like I said, she's a stronger willed person than me. She probably laughed it off and is already worried about recruiting. And she did land a big recruit today, but I know that has to hurt. I know it does. Yeah, Mr. Milton, I agree. Everyone welcome Mr. Milton to the channel. So here's what we're going to do. If we hit 100 in Super Chats, we'll give out not one, but two autographed LSU cards today. I actually ordered, we actually gave one of these out. I'm going to give this one out again. Christian Fulton, got an autographed Christian Fulton card. Let's see, what does another one want to give out today? Let's see. All right. I just grabbed a stack. Next $20 Super Chat will get their choice of a Christian Fulton auto. I also got an Allie Highsmith rookie auto right here. We have a 1-of-1 rare Jabril Cox. Had a great season for the Tigers in 2020. And we also got a 1-of-1 Micah Baskerville. So a few national championship Tigers mixed in here. Next $20 Super Chat, you'll get your choice of whichever one you want. It's a good way to support me. And there you go. Now, that's still the wildest story, Chance. Shout out Kay Fulton, baby. Kendrick wants to talk some major burn, so we could do that. But in the title of this video, I do want to talk a little bit about Chris Hilton. All right. So Chris Hilton is a true field stretcher, and his Wisconsin game was truly breathtakingly good. He made some amazing plays. You know, I heard Joe Sloan earlier, and on tomorrow's live stream, we will go through all of Joe Sloan's press conference from earlier today. I decided to not do it because it's just a lot to you know, do everything that's happened today. And that's so tomorrow's live stream. We're going to go through everything Joe Sloan had to say about the offense. He gave a very good press conference today, but he talked about Chris Hilton. The next evolution of Chris Hilton's game is one of the hardest things to do as a player. It's so hard. It is probably the hardest thing to do as an offensive player. And I do think it's one of the more, you either you have it or you don't, skills, which is breaking tackles. Okay. There's two things I feel as a receiver. It's either you have it or you don't. Elite speed, it's either you have it or you don't. Breaking tackles, it's either you have it or you don't. Now, we know Chris Hilton has elite speed. But is he a tackle breaker? I don't really know if that's his game. He's had issues with drops. That could be buffed out. We saw it with Kyron Lacy this year. The next step for him is going to be catching the football, making a guy miss, and housing it after the catch, right? It's hard. Staying on your feet is hard. And that's going to be where the next evolution of his game will take place. And if he is able to do that, our LSU offense becomes more explosive. You know, when you look at Malik Nabers, there are so many instances where, yeah, you look at the touchdowns, but what really killed defenses was when he would be in a really precarious position and somehow, some way, gain an extra 5 or 10 yards with a burst of speed or a head fake or running through an arm tackle. If Chris can add that to his game, he will be a draft pick next year. So I think, or as Cliff points out, if he becomes more elusive, you know, if you don't need to break tackles if you're always able to run by him or juke him. But I truly, truly, truly have grown into to loving Chris Hilton for next year. Okay. And if he becomes a more complete receiver, the drop off from, you know, what we had last year to this year might not be as steep as we initially thought. And I'll say it. I said it on Patreon midway through last year. I was concerned as hell about the wide receiver room going into next year. But now, LSU wide receiver, it is a position that always feeds itself. So I'm really excited about Chris and his growth, and I was really excited to hear Joe Sloan talking about him earlier today. And as Pegasus points out, Chris has got to stay healthy. So there you go. Emma Cat says, Kyron Lacy better watch out. Chris Hilton might be wide receiver one. Yeah, so I'll tell you this. At the beginning of this offseason, I wasn't certain if Kyron Lacy was going to be wide receiver one. I just wasn't. Now I become more certain. So, you know, normally towards this off-season portion, you know, I put out a lot of like spring practice content, but I try my best to go back and just watch as many games as I possibly can and look at historical trends and so on and get opinions of other people that I trust. And, you know, I went back and I watched CJ Daniels. I'm really excited what CJ is going to bring. You guys know I've been a Xavion Thomas guy since day one. I thought he was so freaking good coming out of high school, and I wish LSU would have taken him then. Okay. But as much as I like those two, and as much as I like Shelton Sampson, and as much as Chris Hilton has grown on me, Kyron Lacy's a guy. Kyron Lacy's a guy. I would be shocked. And this isn't the practice clips that they tweeted out today telling me this. This is just how I feel at this point, that he's the dude and he is going to have a spectacular season next season. And it's going to be hard for him to be first team all SEC. I think that's going to be Trey Burton and Luther Burton, and Trey Harris and Isaiah Bond. I think that'll be your first team wide receivers, but I think Kyron Lacy's got a chance to surpass one of them and be first team all SEC next year. I'm really that bullish on him. So we'll see how it pans out. I'm just so crazy excited about Kyren this next year. So crazy excited because I like seeing players that overcome criticism. And I was a critic because of all the drops. That seems to be in the rear view. I think Kyren's that guy. I do, and I think Chris will be right there. And we'll see if there is a number three that emerges. Maybe it's just Mason Taylor. Maybe it's Kamarion Pimpton or someone of that nature. So we'll see how it develops. Now, Jared says you can't break the tackle. People can't touch you. Here's a good point from Carvis. Chris Hilton was rated higher than Malik and BTJ. Now, him and BTJ had about the same recruiting ranking, but he was rated higher in the composite. Here's something else. He was also rated higher than Keon Coleman. He was rated higher than Jack Besh, okay? Guys that have had better careers than him up to this point. But maybe Chris does turn out to be that guy. Another thing it's very interesting. Every single top 100 wide receiver that has gone to LSU, the last, I believe, 9 of them were drafted. Let me repeat, the last 9 top 100 Louisiana wide receivers that went to LSU, they were all drafted. Okay? And that's guys like Jamar Chase and Terrace Marshall. It's also guys like Trey Quinn. Guys like Tyron Johnson. Guys that didn't even work out at LSU. Guys that have bumpy starts to their careers. So, eventually, all of them panned out. Trey Palmer, who I think was just outside the top 100. But still, it's crazy. It's crazy how many of them hit. And what's crazy is there's a few other top 100 Louisiana wide receivers that are on LSU's roster right now. Shelton Sampson and Aaron Anderson. So hopefully that trend continues and these guys all pan out and it works out for LSU. Okay. D really, he disagrees. He thinks Kyren and Hilton are both going to have outstanding years. They'll be a similar duo to the last big duos we've had. Odell Jarvis, Jets Chase, Neighbors BTJ type of success. D, really, you know I love you. You know I do. That's a lot. That's a lot for both of them. Right, to have that type of season. So look at all 6 of these guys. 5 of these 6 are first round picks. The only reason Jarvis was a first round pick is that he had one of the worst testing scores of any NFL wide receiver that's been drafted. He was still selected in the second round, and he was a multiple time Pro Bowler. What all 3 of these wide receiver duos have in common is they both, or all 3 of these, had multiple years of experience with their quarterbacks. So this will be Kyren and Chris's first full season with Garrett Nussmeier on the field. But obviously his backups, they've worked a lot with Garrett Nussmeier. So you might be onto something here. I don't know if they'll be as good as these. I mean, we're talking about legends here. I think all 4 of the first 4 were all pro at some point, or at least 3 of the 4 were all pro at some point. But you follow up here, you say that you think they're going to be great. Jordan wants to talk some Jack Besh. Man, I love Jack Besh, former PHL guest. About a year ago, we actually had a PHL subscriber, see Jack Besh in a restaurant, and he was wearing his PHL shirt. And they talked to Jack's parents, and I wish Jack nothing but the best. I've kept up with him. I hope he's still doing well. I really do. I need to reach out to him. But there you go. I cheer if you play for LSU once. I'm always going to try my best to keep up with you. Like, even in the UFL, I went crazy when I saw Brad Wing throw a touchdown pass to a deep snapper. I went crazy when I saw Jonte Kirkland catch a few passes. So I get excited for anything LSU football related. Now, I want to get into a macro topic for next year. And by macro, I mean a big picture topic as we look towards 2024. Are these both the same things? Yeah, I have the same schedule up. Let's do this one. It's a little bit more swole up. So, we've done this a few times, taking a look at a schedule for next season. And if you're listening to this via podcast form, we're going to break this down for you as simply as we possibly can, okay? Something happened to me when I was watching a few of the quarterbacks that we're going to play on next year's schedule. Three of them grew on me. And you have to look at this as skeptically as you possibly can, because more often than not, quarterbacks are bad instead of good. But there are three quarterbacks on the schedule for LSU that I feel have some potential to take major leaps forward next year. Now, the least of which is Graham Mertz at Florida. Not so concerned with him. I do like their skill position groups. But I think Graham Mertz is better than we give him credit for. We'll see if that works out next year. But the two guys that really interested me was Jackson Arnold of Oklahoma, a dual threat quarterback who was a five-star, can't miss. Like Gary Nussmeier, got his first start in the bowl game last year. And unlike Gary Nussmeier, he didn't really play all that well, threw some bad picks, but he also showed some really promising athleticism. But the guy that really makes me think he is a lower profile potential top three quarterback in the SEC is Connor Wigman at Texas A&M. I really sat down and watched him, and it's a small sample size, but if you go look at the Miami game that he played last year, it's pretty good. Manu threw the ball 50 times, and their defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. I truly do believe Connor Wigman could sneak into NFL draft discussions next year. So, very interesting situation. I think Connor's got the goods. I think he's got the juice. Maybe I'm wrong. I know it's the popular thing to do when you do an LSU channel is to trash thing Texas A&M. Trash him. F the Aggies. F them. But I'm not going to do that. I think Connor Wigman is good. I do. I really, really, really do. Even though he lost his guy, Evan Stewart, to Oregon in the transfer portal. I think he's got a shot to do something next year. I really, really, really do. Even though he doesn't lack all the experience in the world, he is a two-year starter for them. 2 years. Now, type Y for yes. Type N for no if you can hear me loud and clear. I've discussed everything that I want to discuss. I am in a position now, on the outside looking in, I'm concerned about baseball. I'm very concerned about LSU baseball at this point. I think a lot of you are. you know, we have Blake on here who is a baseball sharp. He watches every pitch of every game. Let me ask you this. On a scale of one being absolutely terrible and 10, they are very freaking good, where do you rank LSU baseball? One being absolutely terrible, 10 being national championship Dylan Cruz level good. How do you feel about this LSU baseball team? So Jared, first up, he watches a good bit of baseball. He says 6. So if you say 6, that means above average, which I feel is good enough to make it to the postseason. Tony says 5, Cole 8. I don't know if I can go 8. 7, Lance says 4. J-Dog says 4. Chance is also a baseball nerd. He watches every pitch of every game. I think you also played the game as well, Chance. He says 6.5. So if you give 6.5, then I think we can make the postseason. I don't know. I mean, dropping my pen. I'm worried. I'm not gonna lie. I'm worried. Cliff says 5. He goes to games. I don't know. I mean, what did they had 4 hits versus Southern, I think? 7 runs at 4 hits. Isn't that right? How do you 4 hits versus Southern? And I understand not to get too amped up in the midweek games because Southern's gonna throw their best and we're not going to obviously throw our best. I don't know. You know, I remember last year when I watched Nichols beat LSU, and they made every play in the playbook. I mean, they were freaking Brooks Robinson, Ozzie Smith, Jim Edmonds in center field, Willie Mays in left field, even though he played center field. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they made every freaking defensive play I've ever seen. So I didn't really panic when I saw that, but 12-7? And I said all I said yesterday about Roger Cador, and I know he doesn't coach there anymore. Roger Cador, one of the nicest coaches I've ever met. But 12-7? All right, Simper, we'll see you tomorrow. Simper, so far, only super chat. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, buddy. It's just kind of frustrating, you know. Like, I try to compartmentalize, like, the non-football sports. You know, we're in women's basketball mode. Now we're going to get into football and baseball mode. It's just kind of, you know, depressing. Cause, you know, last year I was getting into Dylan Cruz, Paul Skeens, Cade Beloso. Now it's just Trey Morgan. Those guys aren't there to save us. And it seems as if we lost. And I'm not saying we don't have good leaders in there, Malazzo and Travinsky and those guys. it seems like we're missing that leadership, though. I don't know. Hopefully we turn it around. Hopefully this team gets hot. What also concerns me and also excites me as well is Kyle Peterson was talking about potentially 11 SEC teams getting into the postseason. Man, that shows you the SEC is deep. So, we have another Thursday, Friday, Saturday series versus Vanderbilt. And, well, you know, Vanderbilt's another top 10 team. We're still ranked. I don't know how we're still ranked, but I'll take it. 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 2 p.m. I kind of want to go. I kind of want to go. I would love to go to a game. I feel like it is important for me to be there for the team while they're down. It's easy to go see Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens. It's easy to go see Lewis Coleman, Chad Jones, Sean Ochinco, Mikey Matuk, DJ LeMahieu. It's easy. You go see Micah Gibbs, Anthony Renato. Anyone could buy a ticket to go see a winner. I feel like they need me. I'm gonna think about it. Probably easier to get a ticket now. I might tell Haley, hey, let's go on a trip. Let's go on a trip. Amicat. I always love Amicat. He's going to fit a Skylar Green reference into every single live stream. I love it. I freaking love it. But yeah, it's just depressing. I understand we've had it better than most. Even though Arkansas swept us, if you were to go up to Arkansas and say, hey, would you rather be us right now or you right now, they would say we'd rather be us with the national championship. And I will say, it looks as if Arkansas is getting ready. To lose their basketball coach. Here's one thing I'll say. Knock on wood or whatever. I think this is wood, whatever this rising table is made out of. I want to show some love to Scott Woodward. All right. There's been a lot of athletic director movement. This is Scott Woodward's dream job. He's from Baton Rouge. We are very lucky to have him. We have seen an AD leave a home job to go elsewhere. This offseason, Nebraska's AD went to A&M, even though he's a Nebraska guy. I'm very happy to have Scott Woodward as our AD. Because I do not feel Arkansas's AD has handled the Eric Musselman situation well at all. And I've met Arkansas's AD plenty of times. But I also understood what he was trying to do. And Eric Musselman might be out. Pretty big story. So we'll see what happens there. You know, I'm excited for Matt McMahon's offseason. I saw he brought in a transfer. I mean, I was watching the NCAA tournament this weekend, and what's very interesting is, like, well, we were 17 and 18 on the season. That was our record. We were a 500 team. You know, NC State was like, what, five games over 500 or three or four games over 500 before they went on their ACC magical run, hit a bank in three to keep their season alive. And now they are where they are now. I just want to be back in the NCAA tournament next year. You know, I don't know if we're ever going to have a team at the LSU men's basketball level that's going to be UConn level where we can just run through people. I don't know if we're ever going to have a Zach Edey at our school. But you just need to get in the damn tournament. Okay? And the way you do that is hitting the portal. Get some of these old guys. You know, DJ Burns, he's probably been the best player in the tournament outside of Zach Edey. He was at Winthrop. He was at Tennessee. Let's go get some Winthrop guys. Let's go get some Winthrop guys. Let's hit the damn portal and find some dogs. I liked Will Baker, but let's go get some dogs. I like Jordan Wright. Jordan Wright was really good for us this year. Let's go get some dogs. Now, I would include something, and this has been a narrative that we talked about, and I wrote this in my prep to talk about this. I don't know, I went over here. My prep sheet's actually right here. To talk about this tonight. Did anyone see the LSU the men's basketball ratings over the weekend? The men's basketball ratings were up. And a big talking point, one that I've shared, is I'm not as interested in the men's. I still watched it. Obviously, my interest more lied in the women's. Men's ratings went up. And I've heard nonstop transfer portal, blah-de-blah, hoop-de-doodle. Ratings are up for the men's basketball tournament. I don't know why. I don't know why. You know, there's a lot of weird things that have happened in that tournament. Kentucky was out early. Kansas was out relatively early. North Carolina got upset by Alabama. Men's basketball ratings went up. Went up. I was a little shocked by that. I really was. I think having Duke in it for so long helped. I think having a Houston, a major metro, in it for as long as they ran it, help. I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. So there you go. Now, I've touched on everything that I wanted to touch on today. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. And I will happily talk about anything. I'll talk about the NFL, talk about the NFL draft, talk about the NBA. I finally got around to seeing Interstellar. I love that movie. I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan. That was the one Nolan film I really had not seen yet of all his big ones. Thought it was really good. We could even chat the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef going on. Beyonce put out a country album. Talk about whatever. In the next 5 to 10 minutes is your chance to ask me anything. You can ask me anything about my life. This is your chance. And if you're new to PHL, we got a bunch of new viewers. Set viewership records for us yesterday. If you want to ask me any questions, go right on ahead. Okay? Go right on ahead. Let's go to Cliff. He said, Ole Miss started the year 5-10-1. The Natty. Everyone relax. This team will get better over the course of the season. Let me ask you this. Let's take a look at the poll question. 89% of you, and I said, take your LSU hat off. Should Angel Reese return? I did chance. Well, I watched half of it. I wasn't able to get to the other half. Tomorrow, on tomorrow's live stream, there is no baseball tomorrow, so we'll start at our normal time, 6 p.m. Central. We're actually going to go through everything Joe Sloan had to say yesterday, or today, excuse me. And I just didn't want that to clash with what we had tonight with the women's basketball. And it gives us some fodder because we're able to actually focus everything on football tomorrow. And we'll talk some women's basketball tomorrow because we're going to have a decision on Angel Reese pretty soon. But we're going to go through Joe Sloan pretty soon. All right. Yeah, D, really, tell me about your spring dilemma. I totally agree with Danny here. Totally agree. Okay. And I think everyone's in agreement. I don't think anyone would say she's not ready for the WNBA. Like, she's going to go in and sell tickets and be a solid player. I just don't know if she's ready to be a consistent 20-minute-a-night contributor in the WNBA and be overly efficient. Now, let me ask you guys this. Take your LSU hat off, and I want you to objectively answer this. All right? I will not judge you. This is not your opinion that you're about to share with all 171 of the people watching right now. I want you to tell me. This is a safe space. Type Y for yes. Type N for no. Do you believe it is a good thing for LSU that Haley Van Lith comes back? Type Y for yes. Type N for no. This is a complex question. It's a difficult question. I want you to answer this the best you possibly can. Because maybe Haley Van Lith isn't a fit with what we're doing here at LSU. Sometimes that's the case. Not everyone fits every last little thing that you do. There are great players that fit offenses and teams. And maybe they fit better elsewhere. I'll tell you this. I think Haley Van Lith, if she does come back, she wants to play at LSU. And D, really, we're going to go to your super chat. Thank you for super chatting. Our second super chat of the evening. I really appreciate you. Devin, welcome back. Good to see you. Devin's been rocking with us for a while. Haley needs to come back, but not play point guard. That's not her position. Okay. I believe it's better for LSU to come back because now LSU's got a huge staff. They can figure something out. I am of the belief that if a player breaks out at a young age, like Haley Van Lith did, she's been a young star for a while, they don't just drastically drop off during their college careers. It rarely happens. Now, there are instances where a college player has an elite season, they win the Heisman or they win the Naismith or whatever, and then the next year, They're still very good, but they're not as good as they were the year before. That happens quite a bit. A good example of that was Caleb Williams this year. He was still pretty good this season. He wasn't as good as he was the year before when he won the Heisman. That happens. But it is rare for a player like Haley Van Lith, who was the number one player in the transfer portal, to being a liability in the postseason. So if you do come back and you do want her back, they have to really work hard at trying to figure out what's best for her and what's best for this team. And that's why this WNBA decision is really tough, because to answer Shalonda, they only have, 24 hours now. They've got to make a decision soon. I don't know why that is, but there you go. I think HBO should come back. I do. But it's, you know, that's why you've got an amazing coaching staff. You've got to figure out what is the best way. What is the best way forward? You know, in theory, if she's not a one, then her and Michaela Williams are very similar players, right? So, you know, maybe you stagger them when you have a deeper roster and they're both down on the floor at the same time. So there you go. And no, Shalonda, it's all good. That's why I'm here. We always make first-timers feel welcome. Everybody welcome Shalonda to the channel. It's a great name. You should have the same last name as an LSU legend. Flauge. There's actually been a lot of great LSU players with the last name Johnson. Let's keep it going to Donovan. Should we be worried about Garrett Nussmeier's receivers or excited about the defensive picks with what we've seen out of practice, the picks and the pick sixes? It's a good question. All right, I'll show Shalonda some love in the chat. William, thank you for your subscription. Welcome to the channel. William, this is going to sound crazy. William Old School Art. I have a cousin that has that same hairstyle and the same hat. He rocks the same exact look here. So that's cool, William. I like that. I know that's probably what you didn't expect as your first comment. I was like, wait, is that my cousin right there? Well, William, welcome to the channel, man. We're all family here, buddy. Here we go. I wouldn't be too worried about it. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm a pro Garrett Nussmeier guy. And, you know, one of Garrett's inner circle members have become a big supporter of what we do here. And I've never gotten to meet Garrett. I've never gotten to talk to Garrett or Doug. I'd love to. Love to have either one on the channel. I'd love to have Doug on the channel. He's a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback coach. He was a Chargers quarterback coach last year. And the year before that, he was a Cowboys quarterback coach. You know, I would say yes and no. Every quarterback has the thing that they need to overcome. Every quarterback has one major weakness. All right. And Garrett Nussmeier's weakness is interceptions. It's one of the worst ones you can have. But he overcomes that with being a productive playmaker and a good leader and a deep thrower of the football. So, yeah, you should be worried some. But at the same time, it's practice. He's going up against DBs that have played him for forever. Some of these DBs know the play, so it makes it a little bit easier to jump passing lanes. Yeah, you should be a little worried, but not too worried. And same thing is true with the defensive side of the football. You should be excited, but not too excited. You know, normally, once every year, D really, there is a player from LSU's team from the year before that wasn't all that good. But the next season, they become great. And almost every year, you can find that player. And that player last year for me was Miles Frazier. Miles Frazier was okay in his first season as a starter for LSU at offensive guard. But he became a very, very good football player this last year. And Gary Dellinger as well. Those guys took massive leaps. Every year, there's a guy who you're worried about. You might not think they're all that good. They take a massive leap forward. Right? Because there's discussion after the Florida State game. Do we start Lancer at a right tackle? And do we kick Emory Jones in at right guard? And Miles Frazier held sturdy. Then had to step up and play better when Emory Jones got hurt. And he was very commendable. He was very good. Overcame the doubters. So I say all that, D, really, because you hope that that happens with a lot of players on the defense. You know, because everybody that's coming back on the offense was very good. Like, was good to very good. All four of the offensive linemen that are returning were good to very good. Josh Williams was good to very good last year. Kyron Lacy, good to very good. Will Campbell, Emory Jones, they were elite. It's rare you get average to great, like Miles Frazier went. Average to very good to great. So, I think we can all agree, Sage Ryan last year was not great. He was, at times, he was average. But now they move him to free safety, and he's apparently had a good camp. Major Burns wasn't that great. Now he's playing the money, and he's done some good things. Greg Penn and Savion Jones. Everyone I've mentioned up to this point are four-star recruits or better. So these are athletes with some pedigree. Those guys had their moments, but last year they were mostly just an average. Can you get at least some of those guys to take that next step to great? I think they will. I think they will. Not all those guys, because that's just a lot to ask, but they will be better. They will be better. So hopefully that happens, and hopefully that answers your question, because, you know, defensively, if those guys take leaps forward, because they will have better coaching, they will have a better structure, it'll be pretty good. Chance says that they were average on a terrible defense. Yeah, and I would agree. I mean, I would agree with this, that the coaching was more of a problem than the talent. And hopefully that is the case. Because a lot of that talent is back and all those coaches are calling. So let's go to Mr. Milton. He was in the chat early. He's got the sunglasses and the hat. I'll answer like he... Jada Richard is the incoming freshman from LCA. And yes, she is legit. Tell you, man, LCA's got athletes. Jordan Allen, Fitzgerald West. Now, Fitzgerald West is gone. Sage Ryan went to LCA. Juwan Johnson went to LCA. I hope you're right. I've not really watched her. And I hope this guard coming in from Mexico is pretty good, too. Let's hope so. What is this right here? Let me see this. Who is this guy? All right, so this is just a rumor. Okay. All right, I'm not even going to say who this is. But this guy has 13,000 followers. All right, so there's this big basketball point guard in the NCAA men's transfer portal. And his name is AJ Store. Okay, so once again, I can't confirm nor deny this. Per a source, AJ Store asked the Kansas Jayhawks for $1 million to play point guard for them next year. The Kansas Jayhawks countered with $750K. Now think about this. This isn't $750K to go play at Nevada. This isn't $750K to go play at Cal Berkeley. This isn't $750K to go play at Georgia or anything like that. This is $750K to go play for a top five coach and a top five program. Wasn't good enough. He believed he's worth $1 million. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. It could just be made up. This guy looks pretty legit. This might come back to bite me in the butt. But then again, we just touch on different topics later on in the stream. What up, Jason? Good to see you. Look at him rocking the PHL poster. I love it. You can get it. PowerHourLSU.com. It would make my night if somebody got some PHL merch. Yeah, I really do mean it. I might be having to shut the site down pretty soon because I have to order a certain amount to be able to justify the web bill I have to pay. So if you are a supporter, powerhourlsu.com/shop. I actually don't make a whole lot in ROI on these merch items. Aaron, welcome. I don't know if I was a point guard and I got offered $750K and Kansas wants me, and I know Kansas is going to develop me and put me into the NBA or put me into the professional league. There's a gazillion of them now in basketball. I think I would take $750K in Kansas. How do I know I'm going to get $1 million? Before today, I never even heard of AJ Store. Do you really think that there's 1,000 programs out there? Do you think there's programs that have more money than Kansas does in basketball? Now, if I would have been offered $750K by Bill Self to run his show, I'm jumping on it. But no, he needs $1 million. The negotiation game. There's a piece of me that likes that. There's a piece of me that doesn't. But that's the game. That's a game now. He said, Amelia. I'm a Amelia. Even though my name is Carter, I'm not even going to try and be wheezy. Oh, man. Let's go. Do we run 50 yards per game? That's a lot. I don't know if I – actually, if he's throwing for 350 yards per game, that's probably not a good thing. That means you're probably a 9-3 team. Again, because that means we're in shootouts again. If you're putting up Colt Brennan numbers. Billy's in the chat. What up, Burks? BB, what a do, baby. The PHL fam is litty tonight. Okay, so Danny, I didn't watch a whole lot of HVL at Louisville. So she says it was the shot volume. Interesting. Interesting. I don't know. I guess what I need to do, Danny, is I need to go back and watch her games at Louisville. Because, look, she might be like an Allen Iverson type where, you know, she needs to be on a team where she's the show, or she's the one taking the shots. And maybe that's the case. You know, there's not like a Nisa Moro's game is a very coexistent game. Like, she could do different things. You need her to step out and take a 17-footer, she can do it. If you need her to get into the paint, to grab rebounds, she can do it. You need her to get in there, block shots, she can do it. Now, hey, Van Lith, she'll make a few defensive plays. She had the game-sealing charge versus UCLA, but she doesn't have as many, like, adaptable skills as a player like Moro does. And that was why, like, I was so high on Moro coming in. Billy, it's a popular thing to do. I'll say this about Angel Reese. You know, when you're a big personality, that's what people do to big personalities. I will say, though, it is a little extra because of who she is. It is. It is a little extra. And you do feel for her. It's actually a lot extra, if we're being honest. Yeah, Justin, it's interesting. Put HVL at the two, then... That's the thing. Maybe her and Mikayla Williams are just two similar players. And that happens sometimes. I don't know what the fix is. But we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. I would think Angel is leaning towards going, but I don't know. I don't know. I've heard everything in between now. You know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's, I don't know. What's really, and I told myself I was going to get back in all the strategy talk. If you want to see all of my strategy talk yesterday after the game, go see it. Man, I wouldn't have put HVL on Caitlin. That's one thing, but there were so many instances in that third quarter where she just threw the ball directly out of bounds because she was too scared to shoot. And Iowa was able to figure that out. So they sagged off of her, which made us easier to defend. And the court was already shrunk enough. Iowa's still able to play small because they're able to pack the paint. Our lack of outside shooting really hurt us. And that's, you know, Haley Van Litt did not shoot the three, and she had some good looks yesterday as well. But the one thing that really hurt me, all right, Caitlin Clark hitting those deep threes is one thing. Getting beat on a pick and roll is another thing. Are you supposed to play drop coverage? Are you supposed to blitz? Are you make the primary ball carrier get the ball out of her hand? What are you supposed to do versus Caitlin Clark? It's a hard thing. And Kim Mulkey said that in the press conference, and I felt she could have done more. But the thing that frustrated me was our transition defense. You know, one way to guarantee you're going to lose a game is give up point-blank easy layups. You can't give up point-blank easy layups. It is the single most efficient shot and most efficient play in all of sports to give up is a point-blank easy layup. You can't do it. It has a near 100% success rate. And where those really hurt is in transition. Too many easy layups in transition. So we missed shots that we should have made. Sometimes that happens. But one thing that should translate to every single game is transition defense. That is a non-negotiable, and that is something that should be able to translate every single game. Now, some of that could be conditioning, and we don't have the deepest roster. Whatever the case may be, we were not ready in transition. We just weren't. All righty. Now I'll say this. I want Angel Reese to be back. Let's just say she's not back next year. Obviously, that's a major hit. It's probably another year before Del Rosario takes that next huge leap. But Del Rosario looks to be a pretty solid player. I still think we could be a really good team without Angel Reese. I still think we can. So I'm not so sure if it's the like a doomsday scenario, like what's going to happen to Iowa when Caitlin Clark leaves. But we are definitely a better team with her coming back. And I think she should come back. Because I see a few of you saying, well, we need Angel back. And I do agree. Like, it would be really good for us if Angel Reese were to come back. But what I would also tell you is we could definitely see Del Rosario take a leap and be okay. Now, that'll do it for me. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6 p.m. We're going to dissect everything Joe Sloan has to say. If Angel Reese makes her announcement tomorrow, which I do think it's coming, I do. We'll obviously talk about that tomorrow. But I wanted to do a stream tonight. If for some reason someone close to Angel Reese was watching this, please stay. I want one more year. One more year. But the ball is in her court, as it should be. The Bayou Barbie. It is! Oh, wait, hold on just a second. Are you going back to England for good or on vacation? Shout out to our top super chatters. Simper. He's already in bed. So since he went to bed, our top super chatter, super chatter was D. Really appreciate you, man. On vacay. There you go. Eh! Power. Hour. LSU. Boom. If you're going to London, my favorite restaurant we ate at in London, and you've lived in London, so you know all the spots, but Cinnamon Tree is a very underrated Indian restaurant in London. I'll never forget the name of it. And tonight, I had like a lamb shoulder or something like that. It was really good. Tonight, we're doing some chicken Alfredo bow tie pasta. Let's go. Let's go.